You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
This is my new song. I've been practicing it, but I never have got it right yet, so I'm practicing it on y'all. I'm going to keep doing it till I get it right because it's my song. I've been around a long time, and this is true. Lately, I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to bed each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've had some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As His love rolled down around me, undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. He has been my Father, my Savior and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is still this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been so good. My God's been so good. God is good. Yes, He is.
All right. I like that. Very good. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you don't have a Bible to turn to, and you'd like to do that, if you lift your hand, we'll get you a Bible. While he's doing that, for years, Linda and I and a lot of great volunteers went to prison, got to meet a lot of people that are still friends and we know, and it was because and through the influence and advice of a lot of different inmates that we started the rec room. The rec room is a result of inmates and ex-inmates talking about some things that they needed. And one of the first guys that helped us with the rec room is here tonight. He hadn't been around a long time. He lives in Andrews. But over here is Jerry Dozier. Shut up, Jerry. Jerry, when I met Jerry, he'd spent more time in prison than he had out. He's always walked to a different drummer. And I remember, I guess the most amusing story was that Jerry would meet all the new inmates at the Smith unit over here at La Mesa. The Smith unit sat very close to a crop dusting landing strip where they had the planes. And Jerry would tell the new guys that if you'd like to take aviation while you're here, that he said, see that, and those planes be taken off and going, there's crop dusting. And he said, you'd enroll in aviation. It's the only prison in the state of Texas you can do that. But he said, you have to go straight to the warden to make that request. And one day the warden called Jerry in. And he said, the next guy that's sent in here, I got this from the chaplain. I don't think Jerry ever knew that I knew it, but the chaplain was telling me about it. He said, I'm shipping you out of here. But it was at that Smith unit that Jerry got saved and some other guys got saved, and we had some wonderful times over there doing programs and getting to know those guys, and they took very good care of us, and we had some good times with them. Everybody got your Bible? Anybody still need one? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. While you're turning there, I got an email. I thought this was kind of interesting, that what takes place in 100 years, because things change so much. But 100 years ago, in 1911, marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter. See, you think you're living modern? You're 100 years too late. You could get it at the local drugstore. Back then, pharmacists said, and I quote, heroin clears the complexion, gives buoyancy to the mind. Yes, it does. Regulates the stomach and bowels, and is, in fact, a perfect guardian of health. That was in 1911. Been a lot of changes since then, I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians. Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, writes this book. And Paul had spent a year and a half in the city of Corinth. And Corinth was a maritime city. It was like Houston. It was on the water, on the sea, and all kind of ships and nationalities and religions and a complete mixture of Jews and Gentiles and every race came into Corinth. It was called a city of license. It meant anything goes at Corinth. It was a wild town, and this is where Paul went to preach. And for a year and a half, Paul led a lot of people to Jesus Christ. It was a church that had a lot of problems in it because they came in as problems. They were not churched. They didn't have that background. And in writing to them, Paul many times had to just really get down on a third grade level to deal with them. But he wrote some tremendous things concerning them. They had ethical problems in the church, had moral problems in the church, had doctrinal problems in the church. Most of all, they had pride problems in the church, and that's something that hadn't changed since Paul's time. We still have that. But starting in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says this. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Paul was not what you'd call a great speaker. He said, "I didn't come here with a bunch of flowery words. I didn't come in here to try to impress you." He said, "I want to give God's testimony, not mine, as it were." He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That doesn't mean that's all Paul knew, but that was the ABCs, and that's what Paul was going to talk to them about, was the ABCs, because they're getting away from that. And he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power." People got saved when Paul preached. People got under conviction when they preached. He didn't look like a great speaker. He's probably just a little beach-legged Jew that had bad eyes. Truth of the matter. But he through the power of the Holy Spirit, led more people to Christ, started more churches, got more things going for God. Verse 5 said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What he said, don't get involved in psychology, get in the power of God. Psychology always elevates man and begins to tell us how much we need self-esteem. And if there's anything this crowd does not need more of, it's self-esteem. We're loaded with it. We all think we're better than everybody else. For years, when I first started going into prison, they said, "Now you need to be nice to these people and work with these people because they have very low self-esteem." And then a research company in Dallas found out that of the groups of people that had the highest self-esteem were inmates. But that really figures. Think about this. A guy with low self-esteem won't try anything. He's not going to do it. "Well, I'll get caught. I'll quit." Only a guy with high self-esteem. That's the ones of us that says, "It'll never get me. They can't catch me. I'll never get hooked on it. I can handle it. It's my life. I can do it like I want to. Don't tell me what to do. I drive better drinking than I can sober." That's that high self-esteem. Calls us lie a lot also too, doesn't it? See? But he said, "Howbeit we speak wisdom, not the wisdom of man, but we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world and to our glory." God's wisdom and man's wisdom are totally different. Man saw a babe in a manger. God saw God in the flesh. Man saw a cruel cross. God's wisdom sees an empty tomb. Man's wisdom sees a dying prophet. God's wisdom sees a living Savior. Man's wisdom sees a crucified Jewish carpenter. God's wisdom sees a coming king. That's the difference. Now I want you to notice the next verse. Because he said, "We speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world and to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." I want to talk about five words in that verse. "For had they known it." For had they known it, they would have changed the course of history. But they didn't. He said, if they'd known it, if they'd known it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd just known it. Now I want you to think with me a little bit about today. What if? How many times have we said, if I could just do that over? How many times have we thought, if I could just go back and make a different decision? If I could just have an opportunity to do that again, where would you be tonight if you could go back and change some decisions? What would you change? Think about that a minute. What would you change? If God said to you, I'm going to give you the right to go back and change one decision in your life. Pick any of them. I'll let you change it. What would you do? What would you change? If you go back, maybe look at it from the other direction. What one decision has really changed your life? And maybe that would be the decision that you would change. You made a decision that really did something to your life. Would you like to redo it? Hey, he said, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. For had you have known it, would you have done these things? Think about that. Where would you be? What would you change? Now, the Bible uses a little word, K-N-O-W, some things we can know, 763 times. It's amazing what we can know. I'm not talking about hope far, wish far, and all probability or somehow, but that we can know. Paul said this. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I've got my salvation secure. I know whom I believe. He said, I'm not guessing at this. I know. Now, there's some things that if we'd have known, we'd have changed in our lives. But if we don't get that to do over, here's some things we can know from this point on. We say this in our classes every week, at least one class, sometime all of the classes, is that you can't do a thing in the world about your past, you can do everything in the world about your future. And I believe that, I'd not go to another class. I really do. If I didn't think that somebody in one of those classes would pick up on that and turn around and start the other direction. But let me say this. If nobody does, I'm responsible to God to tell it anyway. If nobody responds, Noah looks like preached 120 years. And he got seven more folks that believed about rain. And that God was going to send it. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Do you know that? Is that nailed down? If you lose your life tonight, is that part nailed down? I know whom I have believed. In studying this week and about another subject I was dealing with, something I'd never seen before. But the man in hell didn't cry out, I didn't know. The rich man in hell sent Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my parching tongue. And then he said, send somebody to my family to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about this horrible place. And Abraham said to him, if they wouldn't hear Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't hear anybody if they rose from the dead. And he said, oh, yeah, if somebody rose from the dead, they'd listen. But he was wrong. Jesus Christ rose from the dead and still nobody's listening. He didn't say, I didn't know. He knew. But what he didn't know was how awful the punishment would be. What he didn't know was how forever it would be. What he didn't know is how horrible eternity without Christ was going to be. I can't emphasize that enough. It said, but if they had known it, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus Christ. If they'd have known what that entailed, they wouldn't have done it. There's things that if we'd have known, we wouldn't have done it. But there's things that we can know so that we don't do it now. We can't go back to the back, but we can go forward to the front. You and I can know. Paul said he could know. The rich man in hell didn't say he didn't know. He knew. That's why he said, send somebody to my family. Need to get somebody to my family. Turn in your Bible to 1 John. That's way over. Go to the book of Revelation and then come back to the left. 1 John chapter 5. I want to share this verse with you. In verse 13. Well, let me give verse 12. I want to give verse 12. To start with, here are, and people always telling me, I had a guy this week write me. He was in Wisconsin, so that explains part of it. But he's in prison at Wisconsin, but he wanted to know. He's taking one of our correspondence course, our Bible correspondence course. And he said, I sure wish you'd send me a study guide on that. I wrote back, I said, I want to try your Bible. That's what the course is about. You need a study guide. People say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. Well, there's two or three keys to that. One of it, you need to read it. You'd be amazed. Verse 12 here. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 are 19 one-syllable words that you do not need a GED to understand. Look at it. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Anybody can't grasp that? Is that going over anybody? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How much simpler can you get? But then verse 13, notice this. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, not hope, wish, consider, think, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. How long does that last? For eternity. That you may have eternal life and that you may believe upon the name of the Son of God. Very simple. Not one thing about joining a church. Not one thing about keeping the commandments. Not one thing about baptism. Not one thing about the rosary. Not one thing about purgatory. Not one thing about any type of religion. The Son of God. These things have been written that you might know. That you might know. I have gambled my soul on those words. If this book is not right, then I'll never make it. Because I haven't contributed one thing. Christ has. I haven't. Now, do you know? Do you know? We can look at the back and say, but if I'd have known, man, Leland, if I'd known it was going to come out this way, I wouldn't have done that. If I'd known my marriage was going to be like that, I'd never gotten married. If I'd known I was going to get in that trouble, I'd have never done that. If I knew that was going to take me into that, whatever it might be, everybody in this room has got something that you look back at. But if we'd have known, but we didn't know. But now tonight, you can know. Can't undo the past. Do everything about the future. I want you to bow your heads with me for a moment. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, you say, Leland, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. If your Bible is true, if I were to die tonight, I'd be that rich man in hell. I'm not a Christian. Would you pray for me? Heads bowed, eyes closed, in the very privacy of this room, would you slip your hand up? God bless you, sir. Ease it back down. I see yours, son. Slip it back down. And yours and yours. Anyone else? Real quickly. I've never trusted Christ. Would you pray for me? And let me tell you why you need prayer. Because in a minute, I'm going to ask you to step out and come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray that you've got the guts to do it. I'm going to pray that you've got the heart to do it. I'm going to pray that you'll just say, Lord, I quit. I turn it over to you. I'm yours. Make me whatever you want me to be. We spend a lot of time with God saying, give me. Tonight, I want you to turn to Him and say, make me whatever you want me to be. I'll be your servant. I'll be your slave. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Our Father, for those that lifted their hands and those that didn't, it should have. I pray that in the next few minutes, that their hearts and their minds and their souls will be turned around, headed for heaven. Help them. Give them understanding. May your Holy Spirit clarify this in their mind. May your Holy Spirit give them the courage to step out. May your Holy Spirit open their heart. In Christ's name we ask it. Would you stand to your feet, heads bowed, eyes are closed. On this very first verse, would you come? There'll be somebody here to pray with you. Just as I am, without one plea, would you come right now?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me.
Come right on.
And
yes,
that You bid me
come, right on.
Come to Thee.
Come on. God dealing with your heart. You mean business with Him? Or will one day you say, but if I'd have known it. Oh, but if I'd just known it that night. You've got the opportunity. This night. Right now. That's why Paul wrote that now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. One more verse. No one comes. We'll be through. Come on. Some here praying. Come on. You can come.
Poor, wretched, blind.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Side riches healing of the vine. Yes, all I need in Thee to find.
Waiting not.
Will receive, you will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because your promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
our heads still bowed, eyes still closed. There's people that are praying. We want them to have every opportunity to come to know Jesus Christ. We're going to be dismissed. The refreshment bar is open. Don't forget the manual, What Have I Done? What Do I Do Now? Thank you for being here. Our Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit and for touching men's hearts. Thank you for these that have come. And we pray, Father, that whatever their need, we know you can supply. For others, Father, that should have come and didn't, Father, I pray you give them another chance. That you give them another opportunity. Father, we know now. We can't say to you now, but if I'd have known it, because it's been revealed to us. Father, bless you people. Thank you for those that are here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.